Daf Lamed Beis Amid Alf, the first of the wide lines, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah min HaTorah Lifrok Avalo Lit'on. And Rabbi Shimon adds, Te'ina. May Avalo Lit'on. How do we understand the Chachamim? Elam, should we take it literally, Avalo Lit'on Klal, that there's no mitzvah according to the Torah of Te'ina to help a person to load the animal? Maishna Prika. You're going to tell me that Prika is unique because the Torah explicitly says in Shmos, Perakhav Gimel Azov Tazov Imo, Te'ina Nami, Haksiv, we also have a pasuk for Te'ina. And that's in Dvarim Perakhav Beis, Hakem Takem Imo, to load the animal. So we have a source in the Torah for Te'ina. But rather we have to reinterpret the Mishnah. When the Chachamim said Avalo Liton, it means Mitzvah Torah Lifrok Bechinom Velo Liton Bechinom El Beschar. Whereas in the case of Prika, the Mitzvah requires a person to unload his friend's animal, even if he's doing it gratis, he's not going to get paid for it. However, in the case of Te'ina, by contrast, where he's loading his friend's animal, then he does so on the condition that he get paid for his work. If he doesn't get paid for his work, the Torah doesn't obligate him in the mitzvah of Te'ina. That's the sheet of Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees with Shimon, and he says, Af lit'on b'chinam. To the same extent that Prika is a mitzvah even though he's not getting paid, so to Te'ina is a mitzvah even though he's not getting paid. The Rosh says that in the case of Te'ina, even if he's not working, right now he's not occupied with any sort of malacha, nevertheless, according to the Chachamim, he, the Tohen, could say to the owner of the animal, look, I'm not going to agree to be towing together with you unless you pay me wages. In the case of Prika, even if he's not doing any malacha, in the case of Prika, if he's not doing any malacha, then he's not being mevatel malacha, he's chayav in Prika b'chinam. That's not so in the case of Te'ina. As we said before, in the case of Te'ina, even though he's punim in malach, he doesn't have any malach, he's not occupied, he still is potter. He can demand payment. But in the case of Prika, in the case of Prika, if he's not losing any malacha, he's ponim in malachto, he's chayav, he can't say, well, I'm not going to be porek unless you pay me. If, on the other hand, says the Rosh, he has another malacha to do, and he's going to have to be batel from that malacha, he won't be able to occupy himself in that malacha because of prika, then he's not chayv to be porik b'chinam, he can demand compensation for the schar that he lost. Just as we saw in the case of Hashavas Aveda, that he can demand some sort of compensation for lost work. And in fact, later on at Daf Lamed Gimel, in the case of Hashavas Aveda, which where you have Avedasov, Avedas Aviv, Avedasov Kodemes, and that's the principle of Efes Kilo Yel B'cha Evyon, that you don't have to take a loss of work and compensation for work for the sake of the loss of preventing the loss of your friend. That's called Shalcha Kodem L'Shalcha Vero. And therefore the normal halach of Shalcha Kodem L'Shalcha Vero applies to Prika as well. The Nafkamina here in the Chachamim's frame of reference between Te'ina and Prika is a situation of someone who's panui b'malacha. Whereas in the case of Te'ina, the Tohen can demand as a precondition for Te'ina that he be paid as a worker. In the case of prika, unloading the animal, the porek doesn't have the right to demand payment. Unless it's a matter of loss, as we said before, that's the halacha of efes ki lo yebecha evyon, which applies to prika as well. That's what we find in the Rush. The Pnei Yoshua embellishes this Rush, and he says that in the case of Te'ina, he, the Tohen, could demand schar, and it's not like the case of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, he can demand schar and compensation for lost work if he's being mevatel mimlachto. He has to give up his wages, his work. But in the case of Te'ina, there the Torah says it's not like Hashavas Aveda. He's not preventing the owner of the behemoth from some loss. That's the key of keys to define the essence of Hashavas Aveda. But rather, it's Ein Bo Chisaron Kis. There's no loss here. It's just that, of course, the owner of the behemoth wants to get to the marketplace as soon as he can with his merchandise, so you have to help him. But that's not a matter of Chisaron Kis. He's not going to lose money out of pocket if the towing is not towing and if the burden and the merchandise is not loaded onto the animal's back. And therefore, the case of Te'ina, explains the Pnei Yoshua according to the Rush, is not up to the level of Hashavas Aveda, and therefore, even though the Tohen is losing nothing, he could still demand as a precondition for Te'ina that he be paid for his work. Not so in the case of Prika, where there's an element of Chisaron Kis, because the animal is plotzing, it's about to keel over from its burden. If you don't help it, there'll be a Chisaron Kis, there'll be a loss of money. It's like Hashavas Aveda. And that mitzvah is machayev even b'chinam, except for the principle of efes ki lo yebecha evyon, which applies equally to both Hashavas Aveda and to Prika, where the person who's doing this chesed doesn't have to take a loss for the sake of preventing his friend from a loss. That's the sheet of the Rush. The Ran disagrees with the Rush, and he says that since Prika has an additional element of tsar balei chayim, how could the porek, because he's going to lose his malacha, say, I refuse to be porek unless you live up to my stipulation, my condition that I be paid? Says the Ran, in Prika, because of this element of tsar balei chayim, even if he's going to be batel mimalachto, he's going to lose. Nevertheless, it's an independent chiyuv. It's not a question of gauging his loss to his friend's loss, where he comes first, shalcha kodem shalchaver, but rather it's an independent machayev of tsar balei chayim, and therefore he's chayev to be porik even bechinam. Teen, on the other hand, is like any other aveda. If he's losing malacha, he can be mevakesh, he can demand schar. If he's not losing any mamon, because he's not occupied now, he doesn't have a job at this moment, he is chayev to be toein b'chinam. So there's a double machlokes, two nafkaminas here, between the Rush and the Ran. And in analyzing this machlokes, we have to know if it's hobad tali, if it's really at root one machlokes. The first machlokes is going to be with regard to Prika. According to the Ran, even if he's batal mimalacha, nevertheless Prika is b'chinam. According to the Rush, if he's batal mimalacha, we apply the principle that we saw in Hashavas Aveda of Efes ki lo yibacha evyon shalcha kodem shalchavero. And the second afkamim is going to be in the case of Te'ina, where he is occupied, then clearly he's allowed to demand payment. There's no tsar balei chayim, and he can demand pu'ula schar pu'ula. But if he's not occupied, then according to the Rush, he can still demand payment. That's called te'ina b'schar, according to Chachomim. But according to the Ran, he's chayv to be toein b'chinam, since he's not suffering any loss of malacha. So that really sets a certain pattern and a framework for this sugya of Chachomim, Porek Bechinam, V'te'ina B'schar. Tanina Laha, we have a Brisa that reiterates this machlokus between the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon, the Tanur Rabbanon. According to the Tanakhama, the Chachomim mitzvahs prika is bechinam, but te'ina is bescharab. Shimon Omer, zo vezo, whether it's prika or te'ina, bechinam, he's obligated to do it gratis, and he cannot set the condition, I want to be paid. My tamayu de Rabbanon, from whence did the Rabbanon derive their conclusion to differentiate between prika, which is bechinam, and te'ina, which is beschar? The Rabbanon's argument, the logic is, the isal kedaitoch ki Rabbi Shimon, if you will accept the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and even te'ina requires the mitzvah requires that he do it bechinam, is lichtov rachmana te'ina v'lo boy prika. Why did the Torah suffice by giving us the mitzvah of te'ina, which is bechinam? Because again, Reb Shimon believes that any mitzvah has to be bechinam. Again, you can offset your loss because of the halacha of Efes ki lo yevcha evyon, as we saw in the Rush. But nevertheless, leaving out that issue of loss of malacha, you have a chiyuv of a mitzvah. And if there's a chiyuv of a mitzvah, even if it's mitzvah benon l'chavero, then it's bechina. Every mitzvah is bechina. If that be the case, we could have derived prika from te'ina with a kal v'chomer. Let the Torah just give me te'ina, v'ana amina, and I would say, uma te'ina delespa tzar bali chayim, v'leka chisarn kis, chayov, prika de ispa tzar bali chayim, v'chisarn kis, lo kolshke. Prika has two dimensions which make it more severe, more urgent, more pressing than te'ina. Number one, in the case of prika, to unload the burden of the animal, there is an element of tzar bali chayim, the animal is suffering from the burden. And number two, the baal is taking a hefsed mamon because his animal is breaking under the weight of this heavy burden. And if the Torah would tell me that te'ina, which does not have any of these elements, in the case of te'ina, the animal is not suffering. On the contrary, you're putting a burden on top of the animal's back. The bailim, the owner of the animal, is not about to suffer the loss of his animal. Then the Torah says, Yechayev, how much more so in the case of prika, that has these two additional elements of the suffering of the animal and the loss of money, because the animal is going to break. Is how much more so Yechayev in prika? So why then did the Torah have to write the parasha of the mitzvah of prika? Let's learn it from a kal v'chomer. Lomar l'cha prika b'chinam te'ina b'schar. The Torah wants to tell you that prika has its own halachos, namely that the chiyuv of prika goes beyond that of te'ina. Had you derived prika from te'ina, there would be a principle called dial of omen adin lios kidnadun. The chiyuv of prika would be equal to and not beyond the chiyuv of te'ina. And just like the mitzvah of te'ina is only beschar, the mitzvah of prika would also only be beschar. Let's read it inside Rashi. This is about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Rashi says, Hilkach ilok, in the third line, Hilkach ilok kasav prika. Had the Torah omitted prika, v'yasya mikal v'chomer mite'ina, I would derive prika from te'ina with the kal v'chomer. Hava mina, I would have said, dial of omen adin lios kinodun, ma te'ina b'schar af prika b'schar. And just like te'ina, the Tohen could set up this precondition that he be paid, so too, in prika, the same will apply. And there's no chiyuv of prika b'chino. Now, it seems from Rashi that there's a premise that we're operating with, the Chachom are operating with, from the get-go, that te'ina is only b'schar. And therefore, if we would have derived prika from te'ina, we would have assumed that prika is only b'schar, like te'ina, because of the principle of dayo. So the Rishonim object to Rashi, and they say, wait a minute, The only reason we know that Te'ina is Bishkar is after we have the extra pasuk of Prika. Since we have two psukim, it must be that one extra pasuk is coming to tell me that Te'ina Bishkar. Now, in the logic of the Chachamim, we're assuming that there was only one pasuk. So why would there be a premise from the get-go that Te'ina is only Bishkar? The halacha, that condition that Te'ina is Bishkar, is only a result of the two psukim. But in and of itself, inherently, there's no reason from the get-go, a priori, to assume that Te'ina is only Bishkar. And if there was only one pasuk, Te'ina would be even Bechinam, because every mitzvah is Bechinam. You want to set up Te'ina as an exception to all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and you're allowed to derive benefit from the mitzvah, and you're allowed to set up a condition that I want to be paid for the mitzvah. That's a chiddush that I can only generate after I have the two psukim. And now we're talking about the possibility that there was one pasuk, and we're saying that if there was only one pasuk, we would define Te'ina as Bishkar with that condition, and therefore Prika through Daya would also be limited to Schar. But how do you know up front that Te'ina is Bishkar? And therefore the Rishonim reinterpret this Gemara, again very similar to Rashi, but one important change. The Gemara, the Chachamim are asking the following: if we derive Prika from Te'ina with a Kal V'Chomer, then both would be Bechinam. So why did the Torah have to give me this din of Prika? Why did the Torah have to explicitly add the mitzvah, the parasha of Prika? We would derive Prika from a Kal V'Chomer. Both of them, Einochinami, would be Bishkar. If there's a Chiv Te'ina, then how much more so is a Chiv Prika? Because Prika has two extra elements that are urgently pressing this mitzvah of Prika. It must be that if the Torah would have written both of them, and both of them would now be Bechinam, then one of them is extra. It must be that the Torah, teaching both of them and setting up some sort of a difference between Prika and Te'ina, is telling us that although, whereas Te'ina is Bechinam, Prika is Bishkar. And that's based on the fact that if we want to separate one from the other in order to justify the two psukim and show that they're different, these two mitzvahs, then it's more logical to assume that Te'ina, which is lacking the elements of urgency that we discussed, of Tzav Bal Chaim and Chisor and Kis, that's less of a mitzvah, so to speak, less of a pressing chiyuv than Prika. Therefore, in the case of Te'ina, the Tohen could set up the precondition and demand his schar. Prika certainly is Bechinam. Prika is an urgent mitzvah, and like any mitzvah that's Bechinam, so too Prika is Bechinam. That's the logic of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon, my timer, why does Rabbi Shimon insist that even Te'ina is Bechinam? And basically what the Gemara's question is, since the Torah wrote these two parashios and had to explicate not just the mitzvah of Te'ina, but also the mitzvah of Prika, it must be that there's a fundamental difference between the two. But in Rav Shimon's frame of reference, we were equating these two mitzvahs. Prika equals Te'ina, Te'ina equals Prika. So why didn't the Torah just tell us the mitzvah of Te'ina, and we would derive Prika? And what are you going to tell me? Well, Dayal of Amin Adin, and Te'ina is Bishkar, and therefore Prika would be Bishkar. That's not true, because according to Rav Shimon, Te'ina is Bechinam, and therefore Prika derived thereof would also be Bechinam. Everything is fine and dandy. There's no need for the Torah to tell us anything more than the mitzvah of Te'ina. Everything else, meaning Prika, would have been derived logically without a pasuk from Te'ina. And that's the Kal V'Chomer. And the Gemara answers to defend Rav Shimon, Mishum de lo mesayme kroy. The psukim are not explicit. The Torah never actually tells you in either of the two parashios. Again, we'll go through Polineda the parashios again. There's one in Shmos and there's one in Dvarim. Lo mesayme kroy. The Torah doesn't in either parasha tell me definitively and explicate that this is Prika, this is Te'ina. And therefore, if we only had one of the two psukim, we would derive or interpret it to refer to Prika. We would never derive the mitzvah of Teina. There's got to be two psukim, and from the extra pasuk, we know that the Torah is adding a mitzvah of Teina, even though that mitzvah is on a lower level than Prika, it's less pressing, but we need to fulfill that mitzvah as well. Haray that the Torah added another parasha. The extra parasha is coming to generate the mitzvah and the chova of Teina. And this is all based on the fact that we cannot have an extra pasuk in the Torah. And since we don't have a source for Teina, because if we only had one pasuk, we would assume that that pasuk is generating a mitzvah of Prika. We need a separate pasuk, another pasuk, which is not superfluous, but it's generating a new mitzvah, new parasha of Teina. However, at the end of the day, there's no difference between these two mitzvahs, and both, according to Rav Shimon, engender a chiyuv of Bechinam. The Ritva raises the obvious or naive question here: why didn't the Torah just give us one parasha and explicate that it's talking about Teina? Why did the Torah give me these two parashas and it's ambiguous? We don't know if it's Prika and Teina, therefore we're going to interpret it as Prika and not Teina. Ritva's answer, which I'm not sure if I understand it correctly, he's talking about the principle called Dibra Torah B'loshen B'nei Adam, that the Torah always employs the language of the world, and sometimes that language of the world is not the language of the halakhic universe, with the technicalities thereof, of the legal interpretations of the words, because in the legal universe, words have a legal meaning, a very technical meaning. And therefore, the Torah doesn't employ that technical language of Teina and Prika, but rather describes scenarios. That's called Dibra Torah V'losh Bnei Adam. And when you look at these two parashios, you're not sure, there's nothing clear in the parasha itself as to whether we're talking about loading the animal, unloading the animal, is it Teina, is it Prika? Now, at the end of the day, when we read these two parashios clearly, although lo misai mikra, nevertheless, there is a final maskana here as to which parasha belongs to which mitzvah. If you take a look in Shmos Chav Gimel, kisira chamor sonacha rovets tachas maso, the description of the pasuk seems to indicate that we're certainly talking about prika. The animal is literally falling apart, it's plotzing from the weight that's on its back. If you look on the other hand in Parshas Kitetze in Dvarim Chav Beis, Lo tireh shor achicha o shoro noflim badorech, so it's not clear as to whether or not noflim refers to the animal that's falling apart, which would mean again the Torah would seem to be indicating a mitzvah, referring to a mitzvah of Prika, get that load off the animal's back because the animal is falling. But maybe the noflim also includes that the burden has fallen onto the derech. And then hakem takem imo is the mitzvah of Teina, to get the animal back up and get the masa back up on the animal. So at the end of the day, and I hope we don't forget this because this is going to come up over and over again in the sugya. The parasha in Shmos is referring to Prika. The parasha in Dvarim is referring to Teina. But it's still called in the language of Rabbi Shimon, Lo Masai Mekroi. There's no explicit mention in either parasha of Prika or Teina. Therefore, the Torah had to have both parashios in order that we derive the greater chiddush, which is Teina, which is a less, as we said, pressing mitzvah. But within the framework of Reb Shimon, there's no reason to drop the ball on the universal principle that applies to all mitzvahs, that once the Torah obligates me, I have to do it bechinam. And therefore both in Prika and even in Teina, bechinam. Whereas the Chachamim are operating with the assumption that either the way Rashi understands it, that Teina is only Bishar, and that was some sort of a premise that was, shall we say, basic and primordial, you know, in the sheet of the Chachamim, or the way the other Rishonim interpret the Chachamim, that if Rav Shimon is right in both Prika and even Te'ina is Bechinam, then the Torah should have just given me Te'ina and I would have derived Prika. The fact that the Torah felt compelled to give me both parashas and both mitzvahs indicates that there's a fundamental difference between the two, and that difference is understood as a question of chinam versus schar. And if we have to choose now in a matching which one of the two mitzvahs is bechinam and which one is beschar, we're going to assume that te'ina, insofar as it's a lower echelon mitzvah, less pressing, would be beschar. And therefore, that generates the sheet of the Chachamim that te'ina is bischar. This sugya is, in my mind at least, very reminiscent of the sugya in Kiddushin of Kibud Av, Mishal Av or Mishal Ben. The Gemara has the suffix. What's the nature and the essence of Kibud Av? Is it the physical service? And if so, the son is obligated in this physical service, but he doesn't have to pay the bill for it. So his father wants a steak. His father has to sign the check to pay for the steak. And now that the steak is paid for, the ben has an obligation as a physical service to bring the steak, to cook it and bring it and lagish it la'aviv. Or no, the Torah is saying that the mitzvah of Kibud Av, like any mitzvah, like Esrog and Tzitzis, requires you to dig into your pocket and set up the mitzvah from soup to nuts. You know, the physical service that you're giving to your father is obviously part of the mitzvah, but that doesn't exhaust the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to achieve a goal. And that is your obligation as a son, is to see to it that the father's desires are fulfilled. If that requires you to pay money, it's no different than any other mitzvah which requires you to fulfill the desire of Hashem, Kaviyachol, and do the mitzvah. You have to spend, you know, up to 150 or nechassim, you have to do it. Or do we say, no, Kibud Av Mishal Av, because here you're not fulfilling the will of Hashem. I mean, the essence of this is to fulfill the will of your father, and then ipso facto you're fulfilling the will of God. If the essence of the mitzvah is to fulfill the will of your father could ask you not to spend your money, but to service him, and that's called Mishal Av. Here too, in the case of Te'ina, okay, you are the owner of the animal, you know, you have to get the merchandise and the burden onto the animal's back. I'm willing to help you load it. I'm chayav in a service, in a tirchas haguf, that the Torah obligates me. I can't turn the other way. But as far as the finance is concerned, you as the owner of the animal have to shell out for that. You know, you set up the framework for me, the toein, to help you with the physical ma'isa mitzvah, you know, the tirchas haguf. It's a chovas haguf, and that service I'll give you as a toein, but I don't have to be treated in a way that's different than you would treat anyone who you wanted to hire to help you with the te'ina to load the animal. And that becomes Mishal Av. That becomes Mishal Bal HaBehema. He's going to have to shell out for this service. And shelling out for the service means paying for the service as a poet. And that was the initial premise, according to the Chachamim, that te'ina is bischar. And therefore the question arises, why did the Torah have to give me the parasha of Prika? I would derive it from a Kavachom. And the answer is to be Mechadish in Prika Bechinam, that the Torah is obligating you to achieve the goal of Prika. Forget about how you get to that goal. It's like, you know, Netilas Dalet Minim. And if you have to achieve that goal, it means bechinam. You can't demand as a precondition that you be paid for that. The Gemara now asks, Rabbanon, amai lo mesayme kroi. Why did Rabbanon reject the premise of Rav Shimon that's lo mesayme kroi? We don't know which parash is which. And the answer is, the Rabbanon see the parash in Shmos as explicitly addressing the case of Prika. Hachaksiv, in the parash in Shmos, it says, Rovetz tachas maso. And Rovetz tachas maso undoubtedly means that the load and the burden is on the animal's back. You have to come to the aid of the owner of the animal to relieve and unload the burden from the back of the animal. So it is a mitzvah prika. Hasam, there in the case of Dvarim, ksiv noflim baderech. And what does noflim mean? What is the plural, the indication of the plural? Deramu inhu utu nayu biarcha. That both the masa and the Baal HaMasa are both together on the ground. Mashba, that's the mashbos of the Pasuk. And therefore we're talking about Te'ina. If the burden, like the person, is on the ground, Noflim, meaning Noflim means they're in need of aid, then the aid here is vis-a-vis the Baal who's standing on the ground, on the road, and the burden that's on the ground, and the mitzvah is to lift that burden and put it on the back of the animal. Rabbi Shimon, why isn't he impressed by that? And he answers, Noflim baderech. Noflim, the plural of Noflim, is not that the masa is on the ground together with its owner, but rather inu utu unayhu ilvayhu. It means that both the masa and the animal itself are falling. That's the implication of the pasuk. And what does it mean, both the masa and the animal, the burden and the animal carrying the burden, are falling? It means that there's a mitzvah frika. And therefore, if we only had this parasha, this parasha in Dvarim, of Noflim Baderech, we would assume it's talking about a case of prika. The animal and the burden are falling apart. They're Noflim Baderech. You have to help unload the masa from the animal. So I wouldn't know the mitzvah of Te'ina. And therefore, the Torah said it needs to give me two psukim. The pasuk of Roveitz Tachas Maso is prika. And I'll derive the mitzvah of Te'ina from Noflim Baderech. And now, if I'm justified to have both parashios, and there's no way I can learn one from a Kal V'chomer from the other, it's Lo Masai Mikrai, therefore, they're both Bechinam. And this brings us to Amar Rava, and we turn to Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Midirei Shneem, from both the words, the approach of the Chachamim, and that of Rav Shimon, Nilmad, we should derive the conclusion that Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. Because again, everyone, let's take the Chacham, that's more straightforward and simple, is operating with the premise that if the Torah would have given me the mitzvah of Te'ina, I would have certainly derived with the Kal V'chomer the mitzvah of Prika. And Prika is more pressing because we don't take the, if we don't remove and alleviate the burden of the load from the animal's back, the animal is going to suffer. That's called Tzar Bali Chayim. V'afilu Reb Shimon lo komer el mishum de lo mesai mikroi. Reb Shimon fundamentally accepts the Kal V'chomer. What undermines and contradicts the Kal V'chomer and puts it on the side is the principle of lo mesai mikroi, that the psukim themselves are not explicit. We don't know which one is talking about prika, which one is talking about te'ina. And that's going to remove the Kal V'chomer and tell you why you need two parashios. It's not that we need two parashios to derive two different essential mitzvos. You know, one is a classical mitzvah of Chovas Gavra, the other is just a Chovas Guf, as we discussed earlier. But rather, we need two parashios because we need two mitzvahs. The psukim themselves don't give us these two mitzvahs. We would only derive one mitzvah. But the logic of the Kal V'chomer is embraced even by Reb Shimon. If the Torah would have given me one pasuk, one parasha, I would have only derived the mitzvah of prika, not the mitzvah of te'ina, because prika has the element of Tzar Bali Chaim. So even Reb Shimon, in his understanding, in his wisdom, is assuming that the Torah recognizes the urgency and the special level of the mitzvah prika insofar as this Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. Aval Mesai Mikroi, if there would have been a pasuk, and we would have derived from one pasuk, one mitzvah, is then even Rav Shimon would agree that we would derive the mitzvah of, or interpret the mitzvah to refer to Prika and Darshina Kalvachomer, we would have derived Te'ina from a Kalvachomer. Mishumai, what's the basis, the underlying logic of the Kalvachomer? It must be Lav Mishum de Prika Tzar Bali Chaim Darshina, because Prika has the additional element of Tzar Bali Chaim. And this leads Rava to the conclusion, which again, even though the Gemara is going to try to debate Rava and touche against Rava with regard to the logic of Rava, does he have an absolute proof? But nevertheless, we have to understand that Rava's opinion is, that's how he understands this discussion about the Kal Vachomer, that Prika is a proof that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. Because we're going to embark upon in a whole Amud here, and even more, and change, to prove whether Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa or not Doraisa. The Gemara at the end of the day doesn't derive any definite conclusion, but Rava is committed to the position that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. How and why does the Gemara reject the proof of Rava? Dilma Mishum de Ika Chisarn Kis. The basis for the Kal Vachomer and the urgency and high-level chiyuv of Prika is not necessarily Tzar Bali Chaim, but Chisarn Kis. If the animal just collapses under its load, that's going to cost the owner of the animal a pretty penny. Is Hachikamer, let's reestablish or reformulate the Braisa and the Kal Vachomer from Prika to Te'ina. From Te'ina to Prika, I should say, Uma Te'ina de Lesbe Chisarn Kis. There's no significant hefsed. In other words, the animal is not going to be less sturdy and healthy if you don't load it than if you do load it. On the contrary, right? Is chayev, and yet the Torah says you're chayev without chisarn kiss. Is prika de isbe chisarn kiss? The animal is breaking under its burden. Lo kolshken, how much more so that you have to help and come to the aid of the owner of the animal to be porek the masa, to unload it. So we can learn this kal v'chomer even if we omit Tzar Bali Chaim, because Tzar Bali Chaim lavda oraisa. The Gemara rejects that and says, v'te'ina ein ba chisarn kis. Are you assuming that in te'ina there's no chisarn kis? The owner of this burden is not suffering a financial loss. That's not really so. Maybe the animal will be healthy, but what about the merchandise that has to be taken? Again, the Gemara's defense here is v'chi te'ina ein ba chisarn kis. Are you gonna base this kal v'chomer from te'ina to prika on the fact that there's no financial loss? Milo askinon de adahachi v'hachi batil mishuke. You know, there's an urgent need to get your merchandise, if you're a seicher, over to the market. And the buyers and the clients that you could sell to are not going to wait around for you. So you've got to get over there on time as the market opens. If you don't, you're going to take a financial loss. Inami, alternatively, there's a chisarn kis in te'ina because asu ganve v'shakli kol ma de'ika bade. You know, the ganovim are going to see that this guy is not able to get his merchandise onto the animal's back, and the merchandise is sitting there. Any ganov can come along and muscle his way in and take this. So there definitely is a chisarn kis element in the case of te'ina as well. And therefore, we should have to establish that the kal v'chomer, what underlies the logic of the kal v'chomer, is the element of Tzar Bali Chaim. And therefore, we must assume, as Rava presented it, that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. Now, Tosas Divrei Maschil Mi, which is the second Tosas on the Amud, raises the following objection. He says, perhaps we can learn the kal v'chomer from Te'ina to Prika in a case where there is no chisarn kis. For example, he's not going to, you know, miss the moed, the time of the shuk, or there are no ganovim to be afraid of. And we will derive the kal v'chomer as follows. Ma te'ina Af kisha ein bachisarin kis chayev ba. The Torah didn't say that teina only applies if and when there's a chisarin kis. It's kolshkein prika she yesh poli olam chisarin kis. Prika by its own essence, its definition, has a financial loss. So therefore, again, you cannot prove that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. Maybe the Kal V'chomer is based on Te'ina without Chisarin Kis. And Tosus answers that since Te'ina has often an element of Chisarin Kis, therefore, there'd be no way of justifying that in the case of Te'ina, this schar, right? The Tohen could precondition it by saying, I'm only willing to do this schar, because then you're equating Prika and Te'ino, because they both have the element of Chisarin Kis, and therefore they're supposed to be Bechino. The whole basis of the Kal V'chomer, which led us to the conclusion that the Torah added another parashat to separate these two mitzvahs, is based on the fact that Prika has a more urgent pressing need and a machayev then to Ina. If that be the case, it must be that the Chisarin Kis element in the case of Te'ina is not the same. It cannot be identified with the Chisarin Kis element in the case of Prika. Those two are separated. There's got to be a fundamental difference between the two. And therefore, is justified by adding the element of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa to justify that Kal V'chomer. If we were only to isolate the element of Yesh Ba Chisarin Kis as the element, the dimension that upgrades Prika, then that would not be enough of a basis for the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer must be based on the additional variable of Tzar Bali Chaim. You're going to upgrade Te'ina from the perspective of Chisarin Kis to the same level as Prika because of your logical reasoning of Batel Mishuka, Osuganve, Vishakli Koma De'ika, etc., etc., then you have no justification for the Kal V'chomer, and setting up Te'ina as fundamentally different than Prika, in that Te'ina is Bischar and Prika is Bechinam. All this is going to have to be based on the element of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. And the Gemara says, Teda, I'm going to prove to you that both the Chachamim and Rav Shimon accept the principle of Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, Midiktoni Seifa. Rab Yossi Aglil Omer Im Hoya Olav Yosser Al Maso Ein Zokuklo. If the owner of the animal placed a burden that from the get-go we know it's so heavy that the animal could not tolerate, could not possibly survive it, then in such a case as Rab Yossi Aglil, the whole mitzvah prika falls apart. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili derives this shenemar from the word maso. It says ki sire chamar sonacha rovetz tachas maso. What does maso mean? It's maso. Maso sheyachol lamod bo. It means that according to Rabbi Yossi, the pasuk itself excludes the case of maso that's yeser al maso, that's eno yachol lamod bo. The owner of the animal is guilty. Blame him for this situation that has arisen in which the animal is collapsing under the masa. He had no right to even dream of putting such a heavy masa on the animal's back. Lav michlal de tanakama. Now, the Chachom and Reb Shimon disagree with Reb Yossi. They say even in that case, the mitzvah of Prika still applies. Why? What about the logic of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? That's got to be maso sheyachol lamod bo. My time of the answer is because there's another element that enters into the equation here, and that is lav mishum tzar bali chaim doraisa. Even though it's true that the baal habeima was guilty, and it was his terrible negligence that led us to this situation when he placed a masa sheno roilo and a yochel lamod bo onto the animal's back. But nevertheless, why is the animal guilty of that? You know, vas bin the behema shuldik of them. You know, why is the animal guilty? And therefore, the Chachamim and Reb Shimon in this case, called the Tanakama, disagree or reject Reb Yossi Aglili. because of the Isur of Tzar Bali Chaim. You cannot cause and tolerate the Tzar Bali Chaim. You have to do whatever you can to alleviate the animal of its suffering. And if that be the case, then despite the negligence of the Baal HaBehema for in putting this masa on the animal's back, despite that, there's a chiyuv of prika. That's why we reject Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, you could ask, what about the Pasuk Maso? And that's the Ritva's question. Is the Tanakhama completely rejecting the drush of Rabbi Yossi of Tachas Maso? Maso sheyochol lamod bo? There does seem to be a mashmos in the Pasuk like Rabbi Yossi. But the answer is that since Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, he's not going to accept this drasha. Tosis Dibur Maschil Michlal disagrees with the Ritva, without mentioning the Ritva, and he holds that the Tanakhama is not arguing with Rabbi Yossi about the drush of Tachas Maso, but since Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa, and therefore there's an absolute unconditional obligation incumbent upon the Porek to help the Baal, to help the, in this case the Baal Chai, from alleviate its Tzar, then vis-a-vis the two respective and fundamentally different elements in the chiyuv of Priko, we could say the following. Vis-a-vis the animal, the negligence of the Baal, of the Baal Behema is irrelevant, and there's still an absolute machayev of Priko. But vis-a-vis the Bein Adam L'Chavero aspect, that the Baal Behema is asking the Porek to help him take the burden off, there we're going to dash in the word Maso. And then Afkamin is going to be Schar. That in this scenario of Maso She'eno Yochel Lamed Bo, the Porek will demand his schar, and that doesn't undermine his mitzvah of Prika. So vis-a-vis the animal, he's got an absolute chiyuv. He's got to alleviate the animal of its pain and its suffering. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that in the case of Maso She'eno Yochel Lamed Bo, even if the owner of the animal is offering to pay the Porek, it's irrelevant. He's not chayav in that mitzvah because of the drush of Maso, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili never recognized Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. Now, in this Tosvis, Divrei HaMaschil Michlal, we discussed the argument of Tosvis against the Ritva, but I want to add something in the light of the Tosvis Divrei HaMaschil Mi, which is the second Tosvis on the Daf. Tosvis asks the following question. You should be able... I'm sorry. We actually discussed this at great length. There's no need to review it now, although again, Chazar is always appropriate. But rather, Tosvis, in the Divrei HaMaschil Michlal, there's another element here in this Tosis that I wanted to bring out. The Tosis Divrei HaMaschil Mi, we've already covered, we've already discussed. But Tosis wants to know, how do we prove that Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa according to Chachamim? Maybe even if Tzar Bali Chaim is Drabanan, nevertheless, you have to help this animal and alleviate the animal of its suffering, even in the case where the owner of the animal was negligent and guilty of placing an unduly heavy burden on its back, but yochayv midrabanan. And Tosis answers that from this whole sugya, we see one thing, and this is a very fundamental point that I didn't want to miss out on, that if Tzar Bali Chaim is drabanan, then although a person is not allowed to actively create a pain situation on the animal, but nevertheless he's not chayov to alleviate the animal of its pain. In other words, even though there's an Isur of Tzar not to be mitzayer the behem in an active sense, mikomakom eino chayov latzila, he's not obligated to alleviate the animal of its pain. That's if you hold Tzar Bali Chaim dirabonin. But if Tzar Bali Chaim is doraisa, then there's a twofold chiyuv. Not only are you enjoined from doing X, which would cause the animal pain, but you even have to alleviate the animal of its suffering if the animal is already in that situation of suffering. And we're going to see this later on when the Gemara speaks about a behemoth that's owned by a guy, that if Tzar Bal Chaim is Lav Da Oraisa, why is he chayv to be metapel with the behemoth of a guy? And the question is, what about Tzar Bal Chaim Derabbanon? The answer is, he didn't cause the animal its pain, and he's not obligated in the Derabbanon frame of reference to alleviate the animal of its pain. So in any event, we have now a clear-cut proof to Rava's premise and conclusion that Tzar Bal Chaim d'oraisa. This underlies the Shita of the Chachamim and Rav Shimon, who reject Rav Yossi in the case where the owner of the animal was guilty and negligent. He put a masui, she'eno yochel lamod olav, yilamod bo. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma, perhaps the Chachamim Rav Shimon agree to Rav Yossi Aglili and Tzar Bal Chaim lav d'oraisa. But the machlokas is betachas maso pligi. How do we understand these two words in the pasuk tachas maso? Rav Yossi sovar darshinan tachas maso. We interpret this word maso to mean masoi sheyochel lamud. Rabbanan savri lo darshinan tachas maso. They understand the pasuk is referring to any maso. There's always a chiyuv to be poreik, even if the masui is eno yochel lamod bo, which means that the mitzvah of prika bechinam applies in the Gemara's logic, even without Tzar Bal Chaim, despite the negligence of the Baal HaBehema. And the reason for that is not to save the animal of its burden and its suffering, but rather to save the Baal HaBehema of the loss of finances, even though he was guilty to put himself into that situation. It reminds us of the Gemara that we did yesterday about tzedakah in the case of someone who depends upon tzedakah, even though he doesn't have to depend upon tzedakah. He doesn't want to dry up his assets in the bank to support himself and his family, but nevertheless, there's still a mitzvah of tzedakah. Teda, now the Gemara wants to prove that the Tzar Bal Chaim loved Oraisa, the Katani Reisha. In the Reisha of our Mishnah, it says, Holach v'yashavlo. The Bal HaChamor decides he's going to sit down on the side. He's folding his arms one into the other, v'yomalo, and he says to the Porek, Hol v'olecha mitzvah lifrok. Once you have this obligation of Prika, is prok. Go ahead and do it on your own, a solo effort. I'm not willing to help out. Potter. The Mishnah says that in such a case, there is no mitzvah prika. Well, what happened to Tzar Bal Chaim? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Azov Tazov Imo. It's got to be Imo, meaning a joint effort of the Baal HaBehema together with the Porek. V'yisal kedaitoch Tzar Bal Chaim d'oraisa, Mali Isei Lamar El Badei. What difference to make whether the owner is there to help him? Umali kilesa lemari bade. Even if the bailam are standing on the sidelines, unwilling to lift a finger, nevertheless, the Tzar Bal Chaim, which is an independent machayev, forget about the beinon of l'chavero. The answer is we must prove that Tzar Bal Chaim is lav d'oraisa. And therefore, when we said that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the Baal Ashita that Tzar Bal Chaim lav d'oraisa, we want to push our agenda that even the Chachamim and Rav Shimon, they all agree that Tzar Bal Chaim is Lav D'Oraisa, and the proof is from the fact that if he's Holach V'Yoshev Lo, that you're Potter, why should you be Potter? Ay, Tzar Bal Chaim D'Oraisa. The answer is the Torah doesn't recognize Tzar Bal Chaim as a category, as a mitzvah, as a Mechayev. Now this is very difficult for Rava. So the Gemara now swings back to defend Rava. Liolam Tzar Bal Chaim D'Oraisa. And therefore, there's no question about it, even if the Bailim are sitting on the sidelines. The Porek has an absolute chiyuv to alleviate the animal of its suffering. Aye, the Mishnah says that you're potter because it says, Ozov Tazov Imo, and this is not Imo. Me, Saras potter, you understood the word potter means potter in Gansen. Potter legamre. And there's no chiyuv preko whatsoever. Dilma Potter, it means the Ptur here is in the Bein Onam L'Chavero dimension. I don't have to save you. I don't have an absolute chiyuv to save you, the Baal HaBehema, from your loss, financial loss, if you're not willing to help. is potu bechina v'chayev v'schan. The nafkamina is going to be that once we reduce the chi of prika to tzar balechayim and we neutralize the element of beinon l'chavero, then as far as the beinon l'chavero is concerned, there's no reason why the pori can't demand payment. He has no mitzvah vis-a-vis the Baal HaBehema to be porek, to unload the animal, and therefore he's going to demand payment. Again, you have to keep in mind that even if the owner of the animal refuses to accept that condition, nevertheless there's going to be a prika here because of Tzar Baal HaChaim as an independent machayev. But the point is that the Baal, the porek has a right to demand of the Baal HaBehema schar. And therefore, if even if the Baal HaBehema refuses, he's gonna be taken to court to pay the schar. V'hachi kamar achmona ki isa l'mari ba'day oved gabei b'chinam. V'chi lesa l'mari ba'day oved gabei b'schar. Uli olam tzar balichayim b'doraisa. So the Gemara is saying that what the Mishnah is telling us, and that's what we derive from the pasuk imo, is that only when it's emo and the Baal HaBehema is willing to lend a shoulder here to as a joint effort, then there's an absolute chiyuv on the porek, and that alleviates the Baal HaBehema of any financial responsibility to pay for that. But if Leisa L'mari Badei, the owner of the animal, is unwilling to lend a hand, then, as far as Beinon L'chaver, as we said before, there's no chiyuv incumbent upon the porek vis-a-vis the Baal HaBehema, and therefore the Baal HaBehema is going to have to pay him schar. Curious to know how much schar he could demand in this situation if the Baal HaBehema is unwilling to agree to that condition. Let's say the animal will depreciate in its value by X percentage. The animal is worth 500. 500 if it didn't have the burden, and 400 if you have to send it to the veterinarian to restore its health after this burden. So the loss of the Baal HaBehema is up to 100, and let's say 100 shekel, correct? And let's say the schar pe'ula would be worth 150 shekel. Does the Baal HaBehema have a right to say, look, I didn't agree to pay you schar pe'ula, I'll only pay you up till the ceiling of how much you saved me, which I guess you'd say is the shvach mitoch ha-yitziah, so to speak, or the shvach mitoch ha-pe'ula, I don't know. Now the Gemara is going to embark upon a series of five proofs in order to come to some final conclusion about Tzar Baal HaChaim if it's Doraisa or not. And at the end of the day, none of these proofs are going to be absolute and ironclad, but Rava still maintains, as we said at the outset, that Tzar Baal HaChaim is Doraisa. Lema misayele, shall we quote this Bryce as a proof text for Rava? Behemas oved kochavim, if the animal is owned by a non-Jew, and now the animal is falling apart under the burden of the masa, is metapel ba kibehemas Yisrael. The porek, in this case the Jew, has to deal with this situation in the same way he would deal with the animal of a Jew. And the same identical chiyuv prika applies and is active even in this situation. So the Gemara says, Bishlema, that makes sense if you hold that Tzar Baal HaChaim is Doraisa. In other words, in terms of the Beinonim L'Chavero vis-a-vis the owner of the animal and his loss, well, he's a non-Jew. I don't have any Chiyuv. The Chiyuv is only a Chicha, right? But I still have an independent Chiyuv of Tzar Baal HaChaim vis-a-vis the animal to alleviate the animal from its suffering. And that's what the Braisa is telling me here. Mishum Hachi, therefore, because of Tzar Baal HaChaim mitapel ba, there's a separate independent mechayev of Tzar Baal HaChaim kibehemas Yisrael. El iyam Tzar Baal HaChaim lav do raisa. Amay mitapel ba kibehemas Yisrael. What's the mechayev here of tipul? There's no benon l'chavero here vis-a-vis the owner of the animal. And as far as the animal's suffering is concerned, Tzar Baal HaChaim lav do raisa. even if you'll tell me, as we discussed earlier, that Tzar Bal Chaim Derabbanan, and I have to be concerned about alleviating the suffering of the animal because of the Takonas Chachamim of Tzar Bal Chaim, nevertheless, that doesn't mean that I'm obligated to save the animal of a situation that I didn't cause. You know, Tzar Bal Chaim Derabbanan means I'm not allowed to do something that would engender the suffering of the animal, but here you're asking me to save the animal of its suffering. That's not within the purview of my chiyuv, unless you maintain that Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa. And I'm thinking out loud here, when the Gemara quotes this Braisa as saying, Ki Behemas Yisrael, does that mean that the Porek is obligated to do this Bechinam, or can he bill the owner of the animal, in this case the non-Jew, for the work that he's doing on his behalf? It would seem logically that since we're talking about a behemoth that's owned by an Akum, even if you're Mechayev the Yisrael to be Porek because of Tzar Bal Chaim Doraisa, he's still the Yisrael HaPorek, has a right to demand Schar. I don't know what court he's gonna sue him in. The Gemara says, no, there's no proof that Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa. Why not? So the Gemara says, so Mishum Eva, when the guy realizes that you're treating him in an inferior way, had this animal been owned by Yisrael, then the passerby would be chayv and prika to help the owner of the animal. But since he's a guy, he's not getting the help of the animal, that's going to engender a certain enmity. And there are many halachos throughout Shas of Mishum Eva. You can actually look up in the Encyclopedia Talmudid Eva and you'll see a whole list of them. For example, we will violate the Shabbos to save a chola who's an akum, Mishum Eva. That's how far-reaching the requirement of Mishum Eva goes. We have to guarantee that we don't do things that would incur the wrath of the goyim. So even though Tzar Bal Chaim is lav d'oraisa, so we're going to treat this preak of the animal owned by a goy as if the animal is owned by Yisrael in order to avoid enmity, hatred. That's called Mishum Eva. Hachina Mistabra, and I will support this approach that Tzar Bal Chaim loved Oraisa, the Ketani, because at the end of the Braisa it says, Im Hoisa Teuna Yayin Asur. If let's say the guy had placed a burden of wine, barrels of wine, that were used in their adulterous cult worship, or idol worship, which means that the Yayin is also by Noah bin Din Yayin Nesach, says the Braisa, in such a case, ain't Zakuk law, we do not obligate the Yisrael to get involved in a Yayin Nesach situation. E Amrit Bishlema, Lav Doraisa, Mishum Hachi ain't Zakuk law, Ela E Amrit Doraisa, Amai ain't Zakuk law. If you're telling me that the Machayev here to help the animal is Bein Adam L'Chavero, meaning, forget about Tzar Bal Chaim, because Tzar Bal Chaim is Lav Doraisa, then there is a certain relationship here between the Porek and the Goy, whose Yayin Nesach is is burdening the animal, and we call this a violation of Iser Hanah. Masha Enkin, if I hold that Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa, there's no Iser Hanah over here, because the Yisrael Porek is not motivated by Bein Adam L'Chavero to help the guy, and the guy owes him one in return, but rather for the sake of the animal, to alleviate the animal of its tsar. Now here I want to mention the Ritva. The Ritva says that even if Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa, I still don't justify the premise of the Gemara that in the case of behemoth that was owned by a guy, there would be a chiyuv to be porek, because the Torah itself says, lo sira eshar achicha, and the Torah specifically is excluding ove kochavim. And the Ritva says that this pasuk is referring to te'ina. In the case of te'ina, there's no tzar balichem. In the case of prika, the Torah doesn't use the word achicha, but rather sonacha, and the word sonacha could include even a guy. And therefore the Gemara thinks within the context of Prika, if you hold that Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa, despite the fact that the owner of the animal is a guy, there's no exclusion in the Parsha of Prika of the mitzvah. The Torah says Sonacha, it doesn't say Achicha. The word Achicha only appears in Dvarim, in the mitzvah of Te'ina, which clearly has no element of Tzar Bal Chaim, but within the context of the Parsha in Shmos, Chav Gimel, of Prika, where there is an element of Tzar Bal Chaim, even a behemoth's akum is included in that mitzvah. So the fact that the animal is suffering engenders a mitzvah chov of Prika, even though the owner of the animal is a guy. It seemed to me, Lufi Anias Daiti, that the Ritva is really going out on a limb over here, because according to the Ritva, if the word Sonacha in the Parsha of Prika in Shmos Chav Gimel includes even a guy, then what happens here is that the full-fledged mitzvah of Prika applies, meaning even Bechinam, according to the Chachamim of Reb Shimon, because once you're placing a behemas akum into the category of chamor sonacha, then the entire brunt of the mitzvah emerges and generates a chiyuv prika b'china. We're not just talking about tzar bali chayim. We start with tzar bali chayim, but at the end of the day, we're going to include all dimensions, the whole package deal of prika, even though the animal is owned by a guy. Now, I wanted to add another point over here. Why is it that the Gemara assumes that even if Tzar Bal Chaim lav d'oraisa, the chiyuv of Prika, therefore, in the case of Behemoth Akum, is simply based on Mishum Eva, that in the case of Yayin Asur, of Yayin Nesech, there's no chiyuv of Prika to help this guy alleviate the burden of these barrels of Yayin Nesech from the animal that's crushed, that's being crushed by that burden. And what happened to Eva? And the answer is, says the Tosa Rush, that Eva is engendered by a distinction between, in our behavior, vis-a-vis a guy and Israel. The guy gets upset and insulted when he says, well, had I been a Jew, you would have helped me. In this case of Yayin Nesech, the halacha doesn't differentiate between a Yisrael and a guy. If a Yisrael was carrying Yayin Nesech on the beast of burden, the Porek would be parted from helping him because of the hana that he would, the illegal hana that he would be deriving from Yayin Nesech. So since Gam Liyisrael Chavero, the Masa, had it been owned by a Jew, would not engender a Chiyuv of Prika, so the guy has no gripes here and no Eva. The Rishonim point out that the source and the basis for the Gemara's premise that by doing Prika to help the animal and the owner of the animal who's a guy, there's a violation of Isra Hanah, is a sugya in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav Amud Beis, the famous sugya of Lifnei Iver, and there the Gemara says that if you take Eiver Min Achai and you extend it as a gift to the guy, then that's a violation of Lifnei Iver, because you are abetting, you're helping the Nachri to commit his crime of Eiver Min Achai. It means that if you're helping someone by doing something, that also is a kind of hana. You would think that by helping someone, that's not a hana here. You're helping him with his yayin nesach. You're not benefiting from the yayin nesach. You're not drinking it or anything of that sort. But the answer is what's called nachri machziklo tova, that the guy owes him a favor. If this be the case, why does the Gemara assume that if Tzar Bal Chaim is Doraisa, there should be a Chiyuv Prika in the Behemoth Goy case because of the suffering of the animal? Maybe even so, the Braisa is correct by saying Ein Zokukla in the case of Yayin Nesech because of the violation of Hanah from Yayin Nesech. If we're assuming that when the Nochri is Machzik Lo Tova, you demand something quid pro quo, that's hanah, the guy is going to do you a favor on the next round. So that should asa prika in the case of Yayin Nesach, even if I hold Tzar Baal Chaim is Doraisa. So the Tosus HaRosh offers an answer that the Braisa seems to indicate that even if the guy is not around, still you're not Chayav, and it's also for you to get involved in Prika. Now, in such a case where the guy is not around, then why is it that you're not Chayav in Prika? You're not being Nene from the Ayin Nesach. And the answer is that you're part of the mitzvah of Prika because Tzar Baal Chaim loved Doraisa. But if Tzar Baal Chaim were Doraisa, then for sure you should be Chayav in Prika. So the Gemara answers that truth be told that Tzar Baal Chaim is Doraisa. I, in the case of Yayin Nesach, why is it that the Braisa says Ein Zakukla? What about the animal that's suffering? Hochi komar. Ulahat ina yayin asur is ein zakukla. If the baal abeim, or in this case the guy, asks you to help him lift yayin nesach and place it on the animal's back, then it's ein zakukla. Here we're not talking about Tzar Baal Chaim at all. As we've discussed, teina is not a case of Tzar Baal Chaim. So at the end of the day, we're left with this first braisa up in the air. We don't really know whether or not there's a proof from the fact that you're chayev to help out the guy. Does that prove that Tzar Baal Chaim is doraisa? Maybe it's because of Eva. In the case where you're potter in Yayin Nesach, it could be that's because there is no element of Tzar Baal Chaim. We're talking about Te'ina, Toshma. Let's bring another braisa that will prove to us that the opposite conclusion against Rava, that Tzar Baal Chaim loved Oraisa. Behemas Oved Kalchavim, Vehamasoi Yisrael. Now we have a split between the owner of the animal and the owner of the burden that's on the animal. The animal itself is a possession of a guy. The burden itself is possessed by a Yisrael. And here we have a pasuk, and the pasuk says in Shmos Chav Gimel in the parasha of Prika, Ki sirah chamor son acha rovetz tachas maso v'chadalta me'azov azov ta'azovimam. Chadalta means that you're potter from the mitzvah. Now the behema is owned by a guy, and on that basis, the Torah says v'chadalta, that you don't have to help and you don't have to implement the mitzvah of prika. Why? Because who owns the animal? The guy owns the animal. And v'chadalta, you're not obligated to help him. I'amrit Tzar Baal Chaim d'oraisa. If, Ravi, you're correct, is v'chadalta, why do you dash in this word v'chadalta? And you alleviate the porek of his obligation, Azov Tazov Miboile. We should dash in the pasuk of Tazov to tell us that you're obligated to help this guy, meaning to help the animal that's owned by a guy, because of the machayev of Tzar Baal Chaim. And again, if you're going to ask me the question of Eva, answer you that Eva is not a machayev here in Prika, and I'm not going to ask you about the pasuk v'chadalta, which tells you that you're potter, because there's no Eva insofar as the masa itself belongs to Yisrael. So if this passerby is not getting involved in Prika, the guy says to himself, wait a minute, let him get involved in Prika, if not for me, at least for the Yisrael who owns this burden. And the answer is that there's no Eva here. But nevertheless, the Gemara's question is, if Tzar Baal Chaim is Doraisa, there should be Machayev of Tzar Baal Chaim. How do we understand V'chadalta? Adarav, it should be Azov Tazov. Li Olam, says the Gemara, I can defend Rava's position that Tzar Baal Chaim is Doraisa. Hasam, the case of the behemas ovei kochavim is a case of te'ina. Hasan b'te'ina, and there's no element of tzar balei chaim. Again, the Gemara is going to point out that's very difficult. We're not up to it yet, but because that pasuk of v'chadalta, which alleviates the porek of his chiyuv, is addressing the parasha of the mitzvah of prika in Shmos Chav Gimel. It's not referring to Ina. But right now the Gemara is happy to say that we're referring to Ina. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if this be the case, that we're talking about Te'ina, and there's no Tzar Balei Chaim, Emas Sefer, what are you going to do in the Sefer? It says, Be'emas Yisrael, V'masoi, Ovei Kochom. Let's switch it around. The animal is owned by a Jew, and the Masa, the burden, is owned by a guy, is Ozov Tazov. Then you're obligated to help the Ovei Kochovim, and you've got to, what, be toen is masui, iba te'ina, if it's referring to te'ina, amai ozov tazov, why would there be a chiyuv of te'ina vis-a-vis the guy? And there's no element of tzar balei chayim in the case of te'ina. Ella, we have no choice but to assume mishum tzara di Yisrael. How could Rava defend himself by saying that the subject of this price is te'ina, when If the Bryce in the Sefer says that there's a chiyuv of te'ina, again in quotation marks, in the case of Behemas Yisrael, why should there be a chiyuv te'ina? The only way of justifying the chiyuv te'ina is if we assume Tzar Balei Chaim, which would only apply in Prika, not in te'ina. Ihachi, the Gemara asks, if you're telling me that, let's backtrack before the Ihachi. The Gemara now gives the teretz to defend Rava, that indeed the subject of this price, even in the Sefer, is a case of Behemas Yisrael and Te'ina. But the Gemara says that even though you'll tell me that there's no Tzar Balei Chaim in the case of Te'ina, but nevertheless, there's Tzara di Yisrael, meaning the Yisrael owns the animal. And the animal now is hired by the guy who owns the masa to transport the masa from place, location X to location Y. The Yisrael, who's now in the employment of the guy who owns the masa, owns the animal, and now, as a result of his need for te'ina, somebody has to help him get the burden, which is owned by the guy, onto his behemoth. The Yisrael now is going to suffer tsar. Why? What's his tsar? That's called tsar hamtana. In other words, the delay in this process of the animal functioning as the beast of burden, transporting the burden from place X to place Y, that hamtana, that delay, is itself a tsar. That's enough to justify the chiyuv here of Ozov Tazov. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if that be the case, afilu reisha nami. Even in the reisha, where you were potter from the mitzvah, it should be a chiyuv of Ozov Tazov. There still is an element of Tzar di Yisrael. Since the masa, the merchandise, is owned by Yisrael in the reisha, and the animal now is being slowed down, the process of the Yisrael being able to sell his merchandise in the market has been postponed and delayed, and therefore the reisha as well, even though the animal is owned by a guy, since the masa is owned by Yisrael, there should be a chiyuv of Ozov Tazov, because of the Tzar Yisrael of the Amtona, the fact that the entire process of transporting his merchandise to the market is being slowed down, is being delayed. So why in the Reisha did we interpret the Pasuk of Chadalta to pater the passerby from any sort of aid or help that he has to give? The Gemara answers, Reisha b'chamar oved kochavim. In other words, in the Reisha, even though the burden is owned by Yisrael, the Yisrael is not there. He's not around. This whole process is being taken, is being implemented by a guy. The guy is called a chamar. The chamar. He's the one who is leading the donkey along from place to place to arrive at a different location. He's a guy. And the Baal Amasa, who's the Yisrael, is not there to be found. There's no Tsar Yisrael in this Hamtana. But the Sefer is talking about Bechamar Yisrael. And the Chamar Yisrael, in the case of Teina, is a case of Tsar, because the Chamar Yisrael, who wants to lead the animal, is being slowed down by the fact that he can't get the load, the burden, up on top of the animal's back. My Pasakta, I mean, what logical conclusion do you have from the text of this, within the context of the text of the Braisa, that the Reish is talking about a case of Chamar Goy, and the Seif is talking about a case of Chamar Yisrael? I mean, what gives you that impression? Isn't it possible that in the case of the Behema Shalgoi, which is the Reisha, the Chamar is the Yisrael, or in the safe in the case of Behema Yisrael, maybe the Chamar is a Goy? I mean, it seems like an arbitrary distinction. So the Gemara answers, Stama de Milsa. In general, the way the world operates is Inish Basar Chamrei Ozil. A person travels with his donkey. So in the ratio that we're talking about, a behemoth guy, then we can assume in Astam that probably the one who's behind the animal and pushing the animal, leading the animal, is a guy. In the Sefer, we're talking about behemoth Yisrael. It makes sense that the one who's behind it is the Yisrael. So in the ratio where the Chamar is a guy, we don't have to worry about Tsar Yisrael. And therefore there's no Azov Tazov, rather it's for Chadalta. But in the Sefer, where the animal is owned by a Yisrael, and it's logical therefore to assume that the Chamar, who's going behind the animal, leading the animal, is Yisrael, he's going to suffer Tsar in the absence of someone to help him for Te'ina, to get this situation moving. And again, I'm adding that the Behemoth Yisrael, the Yisrael is being paid for this, so let's get moving over here. And the Gemara is not happy about this interpretation of the Braisa, that the Braisa is talking about Te'ina. And here's the question that we mentioned from the outset, but finally it emerges. And that is, how can you tell me that the Braisa is talking about Te'ina and quote the Pasuk V'chadalta and Ozov Tazov? That parash is in Shmos. V'chadalta V'ozov Tazov. The Parsha in Shmos is clearly talking about the mitzvah of prika, as we discussed in the past. And it says, Roveitz, Tachas Maso, that's prika. And then it says, V'chadalt and Ozov Tazov Imo. There's no doubt, therefore, that the subject of this Braisa is the mitzvah of prika. And therefore, we go back to our original question that if indeed Tsar Bali Chaim is Doraisa, why in the case of Behemas Akum in the Reisha, Vechadalta means your potter, what are you going to do with the Tsar Bali Chaim element to the animal? So even though the animal is owned by a guy, you still have to come to its aid to alleviate it from its suffering. Amar Lei, which I guess would be Rav again, the Bryce is talking about Prika. And your proof is absolutely binding, because the Psukim are in the Parash and Shmos of Prika. But yet, there's no cash on Rav, because Rav agrees that Tzabrat Chaim loved Oraisa, according to whom? According to Rav Yossi Aglili. The Braisa that says that if the animal is owned by a guy, there's no chi of prika, despite the Tzar Bali Chaim, is Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Ora Tzar Bali Chaim, Lav Da Oraisa. And therefore, in the case of Behemas Goy, Mimonech Shav, there's no chi of prika. As far as Tzar Bali Chaim is, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that Tzar Bali Chaim Lav Da Oraisa. And as far as the Beinon Mechavero aspect, Goy is Potur, under the law of Vichadalta. Again, keep in mind that there's no Machayv of Eva, because since the Masa is owned by Yisrael, and the guy who owns the animal sees that the passerby, the Yisrael, is not helping the Bala Behema, the Bala Masa, then he doesn't get angry at the fact that he's not helping him as the Bala Behema. Tashma, the Gemara now quotes another braisa that seems to clearly indicate that Tzar Bal Chaim loved oraisa. The cases where a man sees two animals that need his help. One is ohev, one is owned by his good buddy, and it's, again, the animal is plotting, it's falling apart because of the burden on its back, and it needs priko, lifrog. And the other animal, visone, is owned by his enemy, is lit on, even though, as far as his enemy is concerned, his enemy needs help in loading the animal, that's called te'ina, is mitzvah, which is a lesser of mitzvah than priko. Nevertheless, the Brice establishes mitzvah besone, that here's a case where te'ina takes precedence over priko. So if you want to ask a person a quiz question, let's say ask him tomorrow on Shabbos what he learned yesterday on Friday in his Daf Yomi, ask him to give you a scenario in which te'ina takes precedence over priko, if you have a choice of two animals. And the answer is, if the te'ina is vis-a-vis sono, mitzvah besone, and here's the famous phrase of the Braisa today, lachuf es yitzro. Because he wants to, you know, overcome his natural evil inclination. Tosus Diramaska Lachuf, on the bottom of the Omud, asks the obvious question over here. The Gemara Psachim tells us that the Pasuk Kisira Chamor Sonacha is talking about a Jew, and you have an obligation to lisnoto, to hate him, because Rabo Dover Ever, because he violates the Torah. And if that be the case, why does the Braisa say Lachuf es Yitzro? What's the Lachuf es Yitzro here when the Torah commands you to hate him? There's a mitzvah lesono. And Tosus answers that this Braisa is not talking about the sone that's written in the Pasuk, but rather a sone, a stam sone, meaning someone that you hate. And therefore you have to be mocked in his te'ina to the prika of your oev because of Lachuf es Yitzro. Tosus in Psachim, towards the end of the Sechli, he gives a different answer. He says, really, we're talking about the Sone, the mitzvah of Lesono, because he is a Jew who violates Chas Shalom the Torah. And based on the famous principle formulated by Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle, Kemayim Ponim Lefonim, Kein Lev Adam Liadam, that a person who has sinah, and in this case, it's justified sinah, it's mandated sinah towards the rabba dover erva, the violator, the criminal, towards the rasha, mitzvah sonis a rasha, then this is going to engender a much, you know, we're going to upgrade the level of sinah, because you start with a sinah towards him and he hates you, and it's going to go out of commission, out of whack. It's going to come to a sinah gemura, which is shelo l'shem mitzvah. And therefore, mitzvah l'sone, mitzvah besono, kidei lachuf, es yitzro. V'isakadak, says the Gemara, Tzar Bali Chaim, do'oraisa, ha'odiflei. In the case of priko, we have an element of Tzar Bali Chaim, the animal is being crushed by the burden of its weight, the weight of its burden, and therefore you have to alleviate the animal. In the case of Tina, there's no element of Tzar Bali Chaim. So even though I admit, says the Gemara, that there's this factor, this element of Kidei Lachov is Yitro, but how does that trump the Tzar Bali Chaim Do Reis? It must be that Tzar Bali Chaim is the Rabbanon. And the Gemara answers, Afilu Hachi Kidei Lachov is Yitro. The Braisa still is justified in its position, its agenda of Kidei Lachov is Yitro. We're going to, in a sense, ignore the Tzar Bali Chaim for the sake of Kidei Lachov is Yitro. We're going to prefer te'ina and give it preference and precedence over prika, despite the Tzar Bali Chaim element in prika, in order to achieve this goal of lachuf es yitzro. And perhaps we could add that if it's kedei lachuf es yitzro, maybe that's not really called Tzar Bali Chaim. Tzar Bali Chaim means when you are callous to the suffering of the animal. Here you're not callous, you're doing it for the sake of kedei lachuf es yitzro, for a greater benefit, and the ends justify the means. And now the Gemara wants to invoke a different price to prove that Tzar Bali Chaim is lav d'oraisa. And the Brisa says, Sone Sha'omru, when the Torah says in Parshas, Prika and Shmos Chav Gimel, Chamor Sonacha, is Sone Yisrael v'lo Sone Ovi Kochavim. Meaning the Torah is telling you that there's a special responsibility vis-a-vis the animal that's owned by a Yisrael is a Sone. But if the animal was owned by an Ovei Kochavim, there's no mitzvah at all to be Messiah. Iyam et Tzar Balechaim Doraisa is Mali Sone Yisrael, Mali Sone Ovei Kochavim. There's going to be an obligation, even vis-a-vis an Akum, to save his animal and alleviate the animal of its suffering. So why does the Braisa assume, based on this drasha, just go over the last point, I'm sorry, I had an interruption for a second there, that let's say the owner of this animal is a guy, the animal is still suffering, that's a reality, and Tzar Bali Chaim is Doraisa. Why then does this Braisa tell us that the Pasuk Sonacha is coming to alleviate the Yisrael of his Chiyuv, because it's got to be Sone Yisrael and not Sone Oved Kochavim? So the Gemara rejects this and says, Mi Savrit Asone de Krokoi, Asone de Masnisin Koi. The Braisa is not talking about the Sone of the Pasuk. You want to tell me that when the Braisa says that you have to help a Sone Yisrael but not a Sone Ovi Kochavim, your premise is that it's referring to the Sone de Kro. Now, is that which the Torah says in the Parsha of Prika, that it's Chamor Sonacha? No, Sone de Masnisin Koi. This is referring to the Sone that we saw in the Mishnah of Oev Lifrok Visone Liton. Sometimes the word Masnisin refers to a Mishnah, that's usual, but it also could refer to a Braisa. We had the Braisa before, the immediate previous Braisa here, of a choice between Prika for an Ohev, if you have two behemoths, or a Te'ina for a Sone. And we prefer the Sone. That's not the Sone of the Pasuk, that's the Sone that you have this natural enmity towards him. And that was talking about Te'ina. In other words, it was Te'ina for Sone. This second Braisa, which alleviates you from a Sone Akum, that's talking about Te'ina. And since it's talking about Te'ina, we've neutralized the element of Tzar Bali Chaim. And the reason why, therefore, you're exempt is because this is not the Sone that would engender the Chiyuv of Kidei Lachuf Es Yitzro. In the context of Te'ina, where the Torah gives preference to a Sone in Te'ina, that's where the Braisa sets up this distinction between a Yisrael and a Goy. So whereas in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that we are talking about the mitzvah of Prika, and the Gemara starts with the Braisa itself starts with the Pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, and the Gemara thought that what the Braisa is doing in Shmos Chav Gimel is excluding Behemas Goy from the mitzvah of Prika. That can't be if I hold Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. The Gemara's answer is no. We're not talking about the mitzvah of Prika, we're talking about the mitzvah of Te'ina. Now, in summarizing the last two braises, I think the halacha that we're dealing with is not derived from the parish itself, and that's what the Gemara means by saying Asone de Masnisenkoi. We're not talking about the Sone of the Kra, as we initially thought, because of the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, Kisire Chamor Son Acha. No, forget about the pasuk. What we're talking about is a svara d'oraisa, I would say. You know, sometimes a svara is d'oraisa. The Gemara says, Iboy Seim Akro, Iboy Seim Svara. We have now a conflict. We have the mitzvah of Prika, which has an element of an urgent, pressing element of Tzar Bali Chaim to alleviate the creature's suffering. On the other hand, we have Te'ina, and Te'ina is really inferior to Prika, but add the element of kidei lachuf es yitzro, which is a kind of a moral training in which you assist your enemy and you overcome your natural impulse to hate your enemy. That is of great significance. And what these brises are trying to establish is that non-involvement in alleviating the animal's suffering, meaning shevi al taseh vis-a-vis prika. Again, I'm not saying that you can actively cause pain in the animal, but for the sake of subduing and waging war against your Yetzirah, in order to overcome your natural tendency to hate your sone, that can outweigh Tzar Bali Chaim. Again, only Tzar Bali Chaim in the sense of Shevi Al Taseh, in which you're not involved actively in saving the animal and alleviating it in the case of Prika. But for the sake of Te'inon, the second Bryce is qualifying that and saying that that rule of the superior weight of the moral experience of Kidei Lachov Es Yitzro over the Tzar Bali Chaim involved in the Mitzvah Prika, that shikul, that decision, and that rule, giving priority to Kidei Lachov Es Yitzro and Te'inas Chamor Sonach, that is a sfar that applies only when your enemy is a Jew. If your enemy is an idol worshiper, then even though you're standing idly and you're not willing to help this non-Jew in Te'ino, that's okay because you're involved in the midst of prika towards your chaver, towards your oev, meaning towards a Jew. And that really, I think, in a nutshell, summarizes the last two brises. Tashma, and this leads us to a proof once again that Tzar Bali Chaim loved the oraisa from a brisa. And here we're going to take a look on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. Here the brisa begins with the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, the mitzvah of prika, and there it says ki sira chamor sonacha rovates, and the brisa establishes that we're talking about a rovates and not a ravtson, meaning from time to time the animal weakens under the burden of a heavy weight, but it's not a ravtson. Ravtson defines its essence. It's constantly a ravtson. It's habitual ravtson. It gets, in a sense, crushed under its burden. And in such a case, the Torah is excluding with this miut the ravtson from the mitzvah of prika. That's case number one. Case number two in this brisa is velo omed tachas matzo. It says rovates, but not omed. In other words, there's no chiyuv to help the unload the burden if the animal is actually standing. And the reason for that apparently is that when the actual is lying down, then the animal is being crushed. But the animal is standing, then even though the animal is still working very hard to maintain its stance with the burden on it, nevertheless, that's not the full mitzvah of prika. That's not considered rovates. That's omed. Number three, velo miforak. And the mitzvah of prika doesn't apply, and I'm going to translate this brisa literally, in the case where the burden was already laid down. Now, if it's already laid down, it's already been unloaded, then lechora, the mitzvah that we could talk about here is prika. The Gemara is going to have to explain why there's no mitzvah of prika. My mistake. Even though there's no mitzvah of prika because the load is already on the ground, but what about the mitzvah of te'ina? The Gemara is going to have to address that question a little bit later on. And now number four is tachas masa'oi sheyochol lamod bo. In other words, the animal does have the capacity to carry this burden, and therefore there's no pshia, there was no negligence on the part of the owner of the animal by placing this burden on. It was unanticipated. That's called masa'o,
that masoi is yochol amud bo, and therefore there's a mitzvah of prika. Frekta gemara I amitzar balichaim do raisa mali rovets umali ravtan. What difference does it make if the animal is habitual in its inability to take this weight, and it constantly repeats this performance of falling under its burden, and it lies down, and that's the propensity of the animal? It doesn't matter. The animal is still suffering at this point, and the Torah requires you to alleviate of its suffering. Umali omed, and what difference does it make if the animal is right now standing? There still should be a mitzvah of prika to relieve it of its suffering. The animal is still suffering under its burden. Again, you and I might have said that this kasha of the Gemara is not such a strong kasha. If the animal is still standing, maybe it's not suffering. That it gufa is a raya that it's not suffering. The Gemara doesn't assume so. The animal needs desperately prika, even though it's still standing, before it absolutely collapses. And since this brisa rules that you're potter from the mitzvah of prika in all these cases, it must be that tzar bali chayim is derabbanan. And as far as a derabbanan of tzar bali chayim, you're not required to relieve the animal. If the animal is not yours, it's someone else's animal. The decree of the Chachamim only obligates the person vis-a-vis his own animal. So this is a clear-cut proof that Tzar Bali Chaim Lav Do Raisa. The Gemara says, I can always pull out the same rabbit from my head, Hamani, the author of this price is Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, the Omar Tzar Bali Chaim Derabbanan. And it was Rabbi Yossi Aglilu who said that if the owner of the animal is negligent and guilty for placing this unjustified, heavy burden on the animal's back, then there's a patur in the midst of prika, irrelevant and ignoring the element of tzar bali chayim. Achinami mistabra. Not only that, it's logical, because the ketani in the safe of this price, it says, tachas maso'o, maso yishiyachol lamod bo, Man Shamat Le the Islay Svara. Who's the author of that Svara that it's got to be in order to generate the mitzvah of prika, it's got to be a Masa Shiachal Lamad Bo? That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Shmami, no, it must be that this Braisa was authored by Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So if the Chamor is carrying a Masa Shiachal Lasei Soso, then there's a Chiv prika. But if the Masa is something that Eino Yachal Lamad Bo, it cannot carry it, then Rabbi Yossi Aglili insists that's not called maso, and there's no chiyuv of prik in such a case, regardless of, irrelevant to, the tzar bali chayim element. The Gemara says, "Umi motzis mukmislei ki Rabbi Yossi Aglili vaktani seifa." In the sefer, this very brisa, it says, "Tachas maso velo meforak." Now, what does that mean, velo meforak? That it's already been removed, the burden was unladen, it was now laid down on the ground, and there's no chiyuv. My lo meforak, ilay lo meforak klal, haksiv, hakem takim imo. If the kavana here, in this mute that is derived from maso, is that if it's down on the ground, you don't have to help the owner to get it back up on the animal's back. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because the Torah itself has a separate parasha in Dvarim Chaf Beis of Hakim Takim Ima, the mitzvah of Te'ina Ela Pshita. What does it mean, Lo Meforak? It means Lo Meforak Bechinam Ela Bischar. Meaning that in the case of Te'ina, you're not chayev to do it and to upload the animal without any pay. You're allowed to demand pay. Nu man shamet le de islei svara. Who's the author of the svara that you are only that the precondition in Te'ina and the chiyuv of loading is that you're going to be paid for it, Rabbanon? We saw that back on Lamed Beis, it's the Chachamim on the Mishnah say, Mitzvah and Torah Lifrok of a lo liton, and which we interpreted lo lito means liton bechinom. He's not chayev to do that gratis. He's only chayev if the owner of the animal who's asking him to help him put the burden, lay the burden on top of the animal, is willing to pay him as a poel. So this Bryson then is the Rabbanon. And we come back to our original proof that Tzar Bali Chaim lav da oraisa. The Gemara answers, lav, liolam, Rabbi Yossi aglilihi, ubiteina savalak rabbanon. There's no twisting the arm of Rabbi Yossi aglili if I accept his principle that the mitzvah of prika doesn't apply if there was negligence on the part of the Bala Behema to place an unusually heavy burden on the animal's back. It's a masli sheni yochel lamed v'yipoter in that case, to also accept the sheet of the Rabbanon that te'ina is conditional on schar, and there's no chiv te'ina b'chinam. So the combination of A plus B is not problematic. You can hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili with regard to the p'tur of prika in a masui she'eno yochel lamud bo, and at the same time accept the chachamim's p'tur of te'ina in the case of chinam. And that really ends and completes the sugya of Tzar Bali Chaim. We come to no definite conclusion, but again, I want to reemphasize that Rava is committed to the position Tzar Bali Chaim de Oraisa, based on his understanding, his perception of the Kal V'chomer, that if the Torah had given us Te'ino, we would derive Priko with a Kal V'chomer. Priko is more urgent because it has the additional element of Tzar Bali Chaim, and therefore, if we accept Rava, then la halacha, even in the case of Behemas Goy, and even if there would be no element of Eva, you would still be obligated, at least b'schar, to help out the Goy and save the animal spirit, alleviated of its suffering, because Tzar Bali Chaim d'oraisa. Just to complete the sugya until the next Mishnah, Tan Rabbanon, we have now a braisa that deals with Prika and Te'ina. It begins with the parsha of Prika, where the Torah says in Shpos Chav Gimel, Ki sireh chamor sonacha rovetz tachas maso. Emphasize the word tireh, which means that you could see it. Yochal afilu meirachok. The implication is that you could see it even at a distance. Talmud lomar. But yet the Torah adds, Ki sifka shor oivecha, in the parish of Ashovas Aveda, which is in the same chapter, Perek Chav Gimel, just in the previous Pasuk, ki sifka, meaning when you encounter the ox or the donkey of your friend, and this ox or donkey is lost from its owner, then the Torah says, Hoshev tishivim lo, you're obligated in the mitzvah of hashava, and the understanding is, ki tifka, which means that you encounter the animal, you meet up with the animal. The animal is not seen from a distance, but rather from close up. And that's called samachlo. Kisifka means that with regard to Hashavas Aveda, it's got to be samachlo. And we have a right to derive prika from Hashavas Aveda. You might ask me, but in prika, at least according to Rava, there's the additional element of Tzar Bale Chaim. It's the Hefseid Mom and the Chison Kiss that's common to both Hashavas Aveda and Prika. But Prika has the additional Chumra, the element of Tzar Bale Chaim. So maybe the Torah in Prika would be more Machmer than it was in Hashavas Aveda. And if you see it at a distance, that should be enough to be Machayev you in the Tzar Bale Chaim element of Prika. This is Bryce, who will be addressing the mitzvah of Te'ina and setting up an equation between Te'ina and Hashavas Aveda that you're only chayv in Te'ina with a pegia misamachla, then nicha, then there's no element of Tzar Bali Chaim. But the Bryce, as we have it, invokes the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, Ki sireh, in the mitzvah of Prika, and there is Bali Chaim. So comes along the Cheshek Shlomo, and he gives the following answer. He says that in Hashavas Aveda, when it says Ki Sifga, that's also a situation of Tzar Bali Chaim. The animal is, as the Torah describes it, Toa Baderech. It's lost in its way. It can't find its way back to its original warm barn, its location in the Beis Habal, in the Beis Oshel Bailov. There's also a possibility that the animal will suffer. Maybe it doesn't have enough food. There's no grazing area. It's going to die of starvation. And yet, Even so, in the context of Hashavas Avedi Ki Sifka, it's only when there's a Pagia Misamuch. The Gemara says, wait a minute. The Brisa says, wait a minute. Are you talking about Samuch Mamish? E Ki Tifka. Yochel Pagia Mamish, that means if it's not really, really Karov, it's not really close to you in Samachlo, then you're Potur, then Talmud Lomar. So why does the Torah say Kisira? You know, we always have to balance between these two psukim. It does say Kisira, indicating even when you see it at a distance. It does say in the parish of Hashavas Veda Kisifka when it's close up. And the answer is, and we've seen this methodology over and over again here in Perikei L'Metzias, we always have to find a compromise between the two polar extremes. Ezi Ria Sheyesh Ba Pagia. We need a Ria that's not too far away. It does have Pagia, but it's still Ria Mirachok. Shiru Chachamim, the Chacham Masum, says the Raisa, Echad Misheva Umechza Bimil. Vizehu Ris. So what is the distance to which you have to see? It's a question of calculating amos, right? A mil is alpayim amo, and now we're talking about 1/7, 1/7.5 of alpayim of 2,000, and that gives you 266 2/3 amo. So if you see the shar or the chamor of your friend that is loaded down with a burden and it's collapsing, you're chayv in prika as long as the distance between you and the animal of your friend is up to, but not more than, 266 2/3 amma. That's called a ris. And finally, we end with the last brisa, tana umidadada imo ad parsa, that within the context of the mitzvah of te'ina, you have to also not just load the burden onto the back of the animal, but also you have to accompany the animal. And that's called midada, because keep in mind, there's always a fear that the animal might fall again and again collapse from its burden. Whereas the mechayev of te'ina is because, let's assume the following scenario, the animal is carrying a burden, and the burden fell off the animal. The animal couldn't, so you need to put it back on. Well, okay, so you put it back on, but after a certain while, the burden might fall off a second time, just like it fell off the first time. So for that, you have to accompany the animal and its owner for a distance. And it's interesting that the distance is ad parsa. Parsa is the equivalent of 4 mil, which means 8,000 amma. That's a great deal of midada. I mean, the didui here is a very long and exhausting trip, and that's what you have to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tina in a way that it's permanent, to ensure that the burden doesn't fall off a second time. If it would fall off a second time, then again you'd be obligated to load it up again. So therefore the Gemara is saying you walk along with it for a parsa in order to make sure that it doesn't fall off again, because your mitzvah is to load it again. Alternatively, maybe you have to accompany it for a parsa because of the chiyuv of prika, meaning that, okay, you got the burden onto the animal's back, you were mekayim te'ina, but there may be a chiyuv prika if the animal will collapse under the burden of this animal, and then you chayv in prika. So do a te'ina, which guarantees that you're covering the basis as far as prika is concerned, and that will be clinched if you can walk along with the animal for a full parsa. There's a tremendous machlokas here in the Rishonim and in the Achronim, especially about whether this chiyuv of medida, of medadete, imo, of didui, is da'oraisa or da'rabonot. But finally, Omar Rabba Barbachana Vinotel Schar. As far as the Chiyuv of Didu is concerned, it is definitely has the complexion of Te'ina. And Te'ina, we said, was Bischar. You could demand money and payment for Didu, for accompanying the animal. Now, you might ask why, and that's Tosa's question, Dibra Maskel, Notel. Why did the Bryce have to bother telling me this? After all, if Didui is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Te'ina, then just like Te'ina is Bischar, so too Didui is Bishar, and the Ritva wants to suggest that we need this Chiddush because of Reb Shimon. That even though Reb Shimon holds that Te'ina is Bechinam, that's only the Gufa Shel Mitzvah of Te'ina to place the burden on the animal's back, but as far as the Didui is concerned, to accompany the animal, that already is a Chiyuv, a subcategory, an extension of Te'ina, which, even according to Reb Shimon, allows the precondition of being paid for it. Tosus, on the other hand, offers a different explanation. Why do we need this Chiddush that he can take Schar? And the answer is that the Didui is, as we explained in our second Pshat Lutzorach, Prika, and Prika is Bechinam, even according to Chachamim, but nevertheless, we are defining and subsuming Didui under Te'ina, and therefore he's allowed to demand schar.
There, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here.